back. Hold on.
Welcome to Social 1776. I'm your host, Daniel Leach. I'm going to be joined tonight by Eric Hughes, the Freedom Screamer from Courtroom Watch. Also, I'm going to be joined by another guest named Bill. I don't know Bill's last name. I'm sure Eric does, but if Bill wants to announce that, he can. Also, just a little update. I was out today in Williston, North Dakota. You probably see it on the news. I don't necessarily know if it'll make mainstream news, but it's probably going to make my local news channel around here. And anybody that was watching my Facebook live, I did some live videos today. I did about 4 or 5 live videos. It was pretty interesting. There was this grass fire, and it started this morning, probably around 9 o'clock this morning. And so I've been doing a moving job all day. And what I did was I've been in and out because, you're in and out of buildings, houses all day. We're driving around town, going back and forth. Anyways, I kept watching this smoke in the distance from this morning. So around 1 or 2 o'clock, I got done what I was doing, and I was really interested to see what was really going on with this fire, because it started out as a small little fire, smoke, and then by 2 o'clock, I mean, it like literally had covered the whole sky. Not the whole sky, but a very good portion of the sky. And so it was quite concerning to me, and I thought, you know, fire is really spreading pretty fast. You know, we watched it all day. It's a little fire, and then it turns into a giant fire. Anyway, so I go out there, and I go out to where I could see where this big plume of smoke was coming from. And I go out there, and I pull down one of the side roads, and I'm, like, sitting there. I get out of the truck, and I start doing a Facebook Live video. And I probably was out there for, like, 20 minutes on this, you know, live video stream. And I kept watching it. And man, I'll tell you, it started getting farther and closer, and the fire it got to a point where it started concerning me. So it was probably a good, 50 yards out from where I was standing. And I said, all right, let me get out of here. I'm going to go down the road here a little farther. And because you could see that this thing, it went for miles. From what I understand, it was like at least a 20-mile radius fire. And so I went down the road a little bit farther, and I ran into the firemen, because I seen the truck. I wanted to stop and talk to these guys. And as I was going up the road, I could see that fire was on both sides of the road that I was on. So it was, like, pretty wild. It was on my left, and then it was on my right. Anyways, I start talking to the fire guy, Williston fire kid, and he told me that he wasn't too worried about it. And I thought, you know, these things are getting awful close to the oil wells. And but thank God, I just got back about 20 minutes ago, and I shot about 5 different videos and a whole bunch of different pictures. So I decided that I was just going to pretty much hanging up for the night, because I could see that the sky was pretty much starting to clear, and then the fire was just about out in the last location that I was in. And so I could rest a little bit easier tonight, knowing that my house or my town's not going to burn down. But that was pretty interesting. If you guys get a chance, I will post that video links from my Facebook here. And I'd like to probably put a few Facebook pictures. I'm going to put some pictures on the Facebook. But it was pretty intense. I'm telling you, you guys are going to watch that, and you're going to be like, you're crazy, dude. I think I'm a little bit crazy too, dude. No, I mean, it was interesting. I just wanted to know what was going on and how close it was. But I definitely got a close-up view and I smell like a bonfire right now. And I was just waiting for Teresa to get home. And also, I was waiting for Eric to come on with Bill, but it doesn't look like Bill is going to make it on the show right now. So what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to hang up, and I'm going to go on
Bill's
to...
here, I think. Oh, I think Bill's here. Bill, are you here?
I can only be here. I can never be there.
He's here and there. So great. We got him, Daniel. Let's keep Bill here because he's got important input on what we're going to be talking about tonight.
Oh, great. Yeah, I was just giving people an update on the grassy fire that I went through today up here in Williston. I actually did some on-the-scene reporting, and I took some pictures. I did some interviews with some fire department people. It was pretty interesting, but from what the reports were, they can't determine where the fire, how it started. It's just a grass fire, a random thing. So anyways, it was the biggest wildfire, grass fire in the county, the guy said, in like 30 or 40 years, dude. It's like, it's 5 miles away from where I live, and this thing was about a 20-mile radius. So, pretty wild. So anyways, welcome to the show, Eric and Bill. Glad you guys could make it. We have about, let's say, 50 minutes or so of recording time. So let's get right into this. Eric, I guess you're courtroom watch. I'll introduce you as a courtroom watch. And Bill, I'm not quite sure how to introduce you because you're a friend of Eric's. So I guess that's how I'll introduce you, Bill, a friend of Eric's. And any
there
friend
you go,
of-
Bill, a friend of Eric. That's all you need.
Perfect. So who wants to start out with this important information for the night? You know what? Normally, Bill, normally we have Eric talk, but we both know that if we let Eric talk first, he might not get a chance. So, Bill, we're going to let you start off the show here this evening.
I would say let's risk it and let Eric get going because he wants me to talk about something, except I have no idea what it is yet.
All right, thanks for breaking my balls. No, listen,
okay,
I'll keep it brief.
Welcome.
No, I know I'll keep it brief because I know we have a guest, and Bill is very, you know, in tune with what's going on here, so he'll have some supporting deposition to include. So, what we got in Michigan, for people that know, this case went viral, and it's Marlena Pavlos Hackney is her name. She owns Marlena's Bistro and Pizzeria in Michigan. She kept her restaurant open, even though she was ordered by the Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development to close down. Notice how I didn't say health department. And she refused to close down because nobody was getting COVID from her restaurant. There was no need for her to close down and risk losing her livelihood. I think we all know what's going on in this country, and anybody with half a brain knows that the government does not have our best interest at heart. They're trying to close down all the small mom-and-pop businesses, shut down the middle class, shut down the people who have the smaller and mid-sized operations. Of course, Walmart gets to stay open. Of course, the big restaurants and the state parks and all the big boys and girls, they get to stay open, but the little guy has to shut down. It's absurd. And so she stood up against the government, and they took away her food license first. And then she still stayed open. And then a judge issued a closure order, and Marlena still stayed open. And then a judge issued an arrest warrant for Marlena, and she still stayed open. Then she was arrested, and she still remained open. And then she was sentenced to jail for 93 days without a trial, and she still remained open. Her people found their courage and kept Marlena's Bistro and Pizzeria open, even though Marlena was sitting in jail. Kudos to all the gutsy people in Michigan who kept that place open. And there were hundreds and hundreds of people supporting her restaurant, going there, eating, spending money, leaving an extra large tip, donating to the GoFundMe account, which I think got up over $250,000. Thank God to all the people who stood up and donated to help Marlena's defense. So Marlena sat in jail even while her restaurant stayed open. Well, find, and you have to go online and look at the courtroom video of the judge, Rosemarie Aquilina, completely out of her stinking mind, screaming, smashing the wooden hammer on the, cutting people off, setting them up, asking Marlena, where's your lawyer? And Marlena said, he's on the screen on the wall. She screams at her, I didn't tell you to talk, even though she just did. So setting people up for a contempt of court charge, the judge is completely out of control. And so Marlena made it to Tucker Carlson on Fox News. The case went viral. And, of course, it cuts to right to the chase. Everybody wants to know, what can they do? What can we do to stop this? This is absurd. It's ridiculous. Do we allow this to just happen? Do we sit back and pretend that it's not happening when it is? Do we pretend like a delusional child that the government loves us and it's all for our good safety? Well, that's absurd. That's a lie. So, and people want to know, what can they do? So here's what you can do. So at courtroomwatch.com, we posted the judicial complaint form. It's a request for an investigation of a corrupt judge, and it's right online. You can find it if you want to go to the Michigan Judicial Tenure Commission, and tenure is spelled T-E-N-U-R-E, but we've got it in a PDF file and put it right up at courtroomwatch.com. I just downloaded it. I'm running through the test motions, and it downloaded just fine. So if you go to courtroomwatch.com, and you look at the, it's like pretty much the top posting, Marlena of Michigan locked up for keeping her restaurant open. And it says right there, click to download the complaint form. You click that, it downloads. I'm looking at it right now. Michigan Judicial Tenure Commission request for investigation form. This is what y'all can do to make this stop. How does this make a difference? Let me cut right to the success story. We had a judge in Connecticut, top CPS judge, who was stealing the children for absurd things like, you know, not having paperwork filled out properly, and they take the children from the parents. And 29 complaints were filed against this judge in Connecticut. She was a very high-level child CPS judge. And the Connecticut state legislature refused to renominate her for her next term as judge, and she basically got fired. Ended, her term ended, she was ended, and that was the end of her career. So it really does work, off just 29 complaints. Now in California, a judge only has to have 3 or 4 complaints to be investigated. And we got Tanya McCash's persecution pretty much ended at the hands of Judge Stephen Manley, because we filed dozens of complaints against Judge Manley for a whole variety of things, including sentencing Tanya to jail without a trial and without bail, for simply taking the Fifth Amendment. He asked Tanya a question in court. She said, I'm going to take the Fifth. That means remain silent. And he said, remanded for 30 days, and he did that twice. She did 60 days in one of the most dangerous jails in the country, where they have a gang called the Wrecking Crew. It's not a gang of prisoners. It's a gang of guards. Go online. Some of them even got indicted for murder. They had special places where they'd take inmates and beat them to death, where they knew the cameras wouldn't catch them. Well, they got caught. Anyway, the Wrecking Crew in the Santa Clara County Jail, Tanya had to do 2 months in that hellhole. By the way, a little sidebar on that one. Turns out it cost $250 to $275 a day to house an inmate, and the jail is billing the state $10,000 a day per inmate. So just to give you of why they do this, okay? It's not for justice, it's for profit. So if you want to do something to help Marlena, and you're sick and tired of out-of-control judges doing absurd things in court and trampling on people without due process, putting them in jail without a trial, putting them in jail without bail for stupid little things like keeping them, for important things like keeping your restaurant open. It's a freedom thing. So you can go to courtroomwatch.com, download the form at Marlena's post. We give you an example of how it's filled out. I'm looking at it right here. We wrote in, you know, a sample of how you might fill it out. And you have to have it notarized, and you have to mail it in by real regular mail with a stamp and through the U.S. Postal Service. You can't do it by email. Sorry, if you can't spend 50 cents on a stamp, I don't know what to tell you. forget about your freedom and just be a slave and bend over and hand the government the Vaseline and say, sure, give me more. Okay, so this is real simple, and this is legal and lawful. And let me add this. You do not have to live in Michigan to file a complaint against a Michigan judge for several reasons. Number one, if you drive a car or ride around in a car that somebody else drives, you have a connection to commerce with Michigan, either a fuse or an alternator component or a tire or a brakes pad or a cylinder or something is going to be made in Michigan still, or by a company or corporation that's based in Michigan, because the car industry is there. So if you have anything to do with a car, even remotely, or know somebody who has a car, you have connection to Michigan. You have a connection to commerce, engaging in commerce with the state of Michigan, or a company or a corporation or an entity that lives in Michigan. A lot of your food and meat is grown in Michigan. Okay, so a lot of the food you buy at the store, the packaging, food packaging, water, a lot of the bottled water comes out of the Michigan. The Chinese are taking a lot of water out of Lake Michigan. That made Jesse Ventura did a whole broadcast on that on his show on TV. So the state of Michigan has connections to every other state in the country. You don't have to, oh, and by the way, God forbid that Judge Aquilina or Judge Wanda Stokes, the original judge that issued the closure order and the arrest warrant, there's two judges here, Stokes and Aquilina, either one of these witches could easily be promoted to an appeals court or a federal court. Haha, wouldn't you love that? How about the Supreme Witches Court of the United States of America? I'm sure Biden or anybody, one of those political prostitutes, would love to see one of these women in a higher court position. They get into a federal court position sometime in their future career. Oh, boy. And it's going to be big trouble for you and me, no matter where you live. Doesn't matter if you live in Vermont, Texas, Florida, California, Kansas. It don't matter. These people. Oh, and by the way, court case precedent means a court case decided in one jurisdiction, in one state, can be applied to decisions in another state. It's called stare decisis. Look it up in Black's Law Dictionary. S-T-A-R-E-D-E-C-S-I-S. Stare decisis. It's a concept that once a decision has been made in one court, that precedent gets applied to future decisions in other courts. So anything they decide in this Michigan court can apply to New York or wherever you are. Okay? North Dakota, it doesn't matter. So for all these reasons, you do not have to live in Michigan to file these complaint forms. That, and by the way, there's no downside. You can't get in trouble for doing this. Don't submit to the fear. If you can't do this, you can't do anything. You might as well not be listening to this blogcast. Okay, so that being said, let's get into what these women did and said in court. And I'd like to get Bill's comment on this. He had some interesting takes on what happened here. Judge Wanda Stokes, S-T-O-K-E-S is her last name. She is the one who issued the original closure order for Marlena's Bistro, for Marlena's restaurant. And she also issued the arrest order, which the idiot Michigan State Police were more than happy to execute and comply with and arrest Marlena. When Marlena got to court, another judge, Rosemarie Aquilina, A-Q-U-I-L-I-N-A, Aquilina. And Rosemarie Aquilina is one of the most out-of-her-mind people I've ever seen in my life. She's the one who is setting Miss Marlena up. She said, do you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you, God? Now, this was before her attorney got to even speak on her behalf or help her with her case. And Marlena said, well, I'd like to say, I didn't ask you that. I had to say, are you supposed to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth? Now, first of all, that's absurd. The woman, Marlena, who's on trial, and it wasn't even a trial. It was strictly an interrogation by the judge. Should have been allowed to make whatever statement she wants to make. Then she said, where's your attorney? I want to know, where's your attorney? And then Marlena said, oh, he's up there on the wall on the screen. He's coming in by Zoom. I didn't ask you that. I just asked you for the whole truth. Right, that's true. You make one more statement, I'm going to put you in jail for 93 days. Another 93 days. Is that clear? This court is not Burger King. This court is not Burger King. That's what the judge said. Now, you got to watch it for yourself to believe it. I think it's pretty obvious that the witch's courtroom is not Burger King. For her to say that shows that she's completely out of her stinking mind and is in desperate need of a psychological evaluation. So we have a judge who's completely off her rocker, slamming the wooden gavel on the court bench, you know, screaming at people, setting her up, asking her a question, and when Marlena tried to answer it, you know, I'm going to throw you in court for contempt. Just off, it's bad. So what do you want to do, people? I've been asked by a lot of people, hey, what can I do? What can I help? Can I do something? Yeah, fill out one of these complaint forms. You don't have to live in Michigan. Cite the following reasons that we talked about here, and we're going to talk about more with Phil, as to why you would want to complain against this judge. Number one, she's saying your court's not Burger King. That shows she's just completely nuts and needs a psychological evaluation. Number two, she said something very interesting. This is my court. This is my court. So she said it's her court. Bill had an interesting take on that. Bill, what do you think about a judge that says it's their personal court? Open that up for us a little bit. Bill from New York.
Yeah, well, when she says that, it makes sense to me then that you could open up your very own court as well. And we should be doing that. Why can't we, as men and women, have our own court as well? So when they say stuff like that, it tells me that it's not a court that's a state court or a federal court or anything like that. She says it's my court. I would have to interpret that using our common language as we do, and open up my own court and hold her for contempt and trespass on my property, which is my being, my body. The whole thing was out of control from the beginning, I think, because they have everybody, both Marlene and the bailiffs, the sheriffs, the pretend judge, they operated on all presumptions. There were no verifiable facts on the record to start out with. So, in response directly to your question of what was my take on her words of this is my court, okay, she just made a confession there that it must not be a state court. I'm not really sure what court she was saying that it was. So that, to me, would have, I would just say I object. Or if I said anything, it would be only questions, like I object to that proceedings. We can't move forward with any of this whatsoever, because I am going to presume that this is a state court and not your court. Therefore, what you did is you invoked particular rules and laws, so they have their rules of procedure. So in procedure in a state court, there must always be an accusatory instrument if they're accusing her of something. And it has to be sworn under penalty of perjury. If they don't have any of that, they cannot proceed in a state court. So when she says, this is my court, oh, sweet. And so then we're contracting. And so if we're contracting, great. Then I can counteroffer to all your offers. So I hope that answers some of the question that was asked about the statement, this is my court. Okay, well, my court says that you're a nutcase. I'm billing you $100,000 per second for my time because we're contracting. And now, what is 1 second of your time worth on this earth? Another thing is the Marlene that they're stating has not been identified to be the woman who was sitting there. So, you know, I'm referring to the straw man, if you've been around for a little while, but what straw man is it? Is it the Foreign Citizens Trust? Is it the SESTA-KVI? Is it some other fake entity that they have? You don't know what piece of paper that they're reading. So you got to ask all those questions. I don't know. I have no idea what you're looking at. I cannot answer any of your questions.
Right. May I see the documents you're looking at? Well, first thing is, if she says, this is my court, really? Oh, great. Then I'm in the wrong place. I was scheduled to appear today in Michigan State Supreme Court for a charge of keeping my restaurant open. If this is your court, then it's not a Michigan State Supreme Court. I guess, see ya, I'm out of here.
On top of that, well, wait a minute. If you're telling me to close my restaurant, it is not my restaurant. It must be your restaurant. So you owe me. So if you're considering me an employee, I have not received any paychecks from you yet. So do you have your checkbook with you? Just saying. If they could order the restaurant closed, well, then it's not Marlene's restaurant. It must be somebody else's.
I guess
there's too many questions. Every time they say something, I have 10 more questions.
It must be the judge's restaurant. She's already claimed the Michigan State Supreme Court is her court. She's ordering Marlena's restaurant to close down. Ergo, I would assume she's claiming it's also her restaurant. Great. Are you paying the taxes for me? Hey, judge, are you going to pay me my taxes? Are you buying my restaurant from me? It's worth $500,000 as is.
I have a lot of invoices for you.
Right. Here's my bill. So now, unfortunately, this all sounds really good, but unfortunately what happens is, it's very intimidating when the armed guards are standing there and they're about to take you to jail, and the judge says,
Don't touch me.
You do not have permission
to touch me.
Listen, but the judge, here's the problem. The judge, and I saw her say this, if people refer to, it's on YouTube, just type in the instance, courtroom, judge sentences, Marlena, to jail, you know, to 93 days in jail, you'll find it. Michigan restaurant owner sentenced to jail. The judge tells Rick Martin is a quote-unquote constitutional lawyer who's not a licensed lawyer, but a license is not necessary to practice law. Unfortunately, the judge didn't see it that way and sentenced Mr. Martin, who was strictly there trying to help Marlena, sentenced him to 93 days in jail as well for contempt of court for pretending to be a lawyer, even though he was very explicit. He just said, I'm assistance of counsel, meaning I'm assisting this woman in her own defense. And the judge took that as to mean that he was pretending to be a lawyer without a license and put him in jail. Now, when he tried to say something, she said, I'll give you 1 minute to speak. And by the way, I think she only gave him about 20 or 30 seconds. But when they jump on you like that, and, you know, there's two guys with guns standing there, they're going to touch you whether you tell them to touch you or not. It's very difficult because people aren't allowed to say everything that they need to say or what they want to say or what they should be able to say, as Bill and I are saying it right now. So it's easier said than done. And I do sympathize with the people that are in the court. I've seen it happen. It happened to me once. I tried to get just a couple sentences out there, and when it looked to the judge like I was right on track and about to win the case, he said, that's it. I don't want to hear any more. And I said, well, sir, I need to get that's it. One more word is contempt, and you either have to go to jail for contempt or kind of shut your mouth and live to fight another day. And so on that note, I don't blame Marlena for paying the $15,000 fine. She ended up closing her restaurant. So her restaurant's boarded up now. There's a sign out front that says Marlene's complied, and she's out of jail. I don't begrudge her that. It's real easy to sit out here on the blog radio and sit in the comfort of your home and say, you know, she should have stayed in. She should have fought it. She should have waited. You know, you're not going to be able to do much fighting the system in jail. They give you a crayon to write with. So if you want to write your own legal documents, you don't get a typewriter or a computer or a pencil or a pen. They give you a crayon. I'm not joking. That's what they do, because they consider a pencil or a pen a dangerous instrument. You could hurt yourself or somebody else. So they give you a stub, about a half of a crayon. Then what are you going to do? Write in a child's Walt Disney coloring book with a crayon and write a habeas corpus or a motion for dismissal with prejudice? I'm sorry, you know, it doesn't work out that way. They make it impossible to defend yourself. And she shouldn't be sitting in jail and getting sick and with whatever is going around in the jail. I'm talking about things other than COVID. There's all kinds of tuberculosis and things that are very dangerous in jail that you're going to catch. There's also the chance that the guards could conveniently find you hanged in your cell, with a little help from them. And there's also the chance that they could pay a prisoner $5,000 to shank you and stick you with a knife in prison. That happens. And there's also poisoning the food, with, like they did to Richard Kuklinski, the Iceman. They poison the food and you wind up dying slowly and nobody knows that you died. They think you died of natural causes. So there's all kinds of reasons you don't want to sit in jail if you don't have to. So I don't begrudge Marlena paying the vic, so to speak.
Nobody
literally
begrudges her at all.
And I know.
The things that are missing out of all of this are asking the right questions right off the bat at first instance.
Right.
So when they got to the court, it was way too late. If people would pay attention to what I'm saying and ask the right questions right off the bat, they will know that they are not dealing with a typical person that they could run through their mill.
That's right.
And so you have to set them up for your very own court first. And then our court works with all of these, all of us coming together, filing the complaints. So you have a CRAN, you're in jail. I, a man, or I, a woman, claim trespass. You see, pay attention to what I just said.
Yep.
I claim trespass. That's it. That's all you need to write. I, a man, Bill, claim trespass. That's what I would write with my CRAN on the fucking wall, on the toilet seat, on toilet paper, on the forehead of some man. I would never refer to them as officer or any of their fictions.
Right.
It's Bob, it's Tom, or something like that.
Very
never
important
allow
point
them to leave the realm of man.
That's
once
right. So
you enter into their fantasy world, then they could do what they want.
Right. Let me expound upon that. What Bill is saying is very important. When you fill out a complaint form, you don't put down Judge Aquilina or Judge Stokes. You put down their name, Rosemarie Aquilina or Mrs. Wanda Stokes. We don't ever, when we do our criminal trespass warning, which is what we've been serving on the political people around here in this Buffalo area, and had very good success with it. A lot of these people have gone away.
No
title.
No Mrs., no Mr. A Mrs. and a Mr. is a warrant officer in the British Navy. So when
okay
you say Mr. Jones, you are referring to a warrant officer in the British Merchant Marines. So I object to any of those terms. It's
okay
simply Eric Jones. That's it.
Got you. So and no,
upper
no
lowercase. Upper
right
lowercase. You can say that or all lowercase.
So
all
no
lowercase refers to man.
No sheriff, no judge, no commissioner, no.
Your honor. You can
right
say
no,
honor would make me happy.
And Bill says not even a Mrs. or a Mr. or a Ms., just a straight up name. So that's very important. And the second thing, and what was the other point I wanted to make? Oh, when Bill says open your own court, he doesn't mean structurally and physically a building. What he means is you open your conceptually. You open your own. You open it from your own point of view, point of reference, point of freedom, from your own stance and your own standing. He's saying you need to, I don't want to use the word attack them, but you need to go on kind of like, Bill, if this is the right word to say it, on the offensive, and you need to state your claim. Notice how Bill said, however you got to write it, write the claim of trespass. You make your claim. They're making their claim. This is my court. This isn't Burger King. This isn't where you have it your way. It's done my way. Oh, great. Okay. How about this? I claim you're trespassing upon me as one woman to another woman, or one man to another man, or a man to a woman, whatever. You treat them as your equal, kind of, so to speak, from the get-go. They're trying to treat you as unequal, and that's a fundamental violation of the due process that this country is founded on. All men are created equal, and that means women too. Back then, they used the word, you know, when they say all men are created equal, that means men and women and children and anybody who's alive and breathing, child of God, are created equal. So when you go in there, you're treating them as your equal. You're not saying sheriff, which would mean you're higher than me, or you're some kind of special category, or deputy this, or trooper that. You just treat them as, you know, John Smith or whoever they are. You call them by your name. Very important. And of course, they, the bailiffs, the sheriffs, the judge, the troopers, all the people in power, want to set the stage of inequality. They want to say, I'm the judge. This is my court. You're lesser than me. You do what I tell you to do. You're under me. That's why they say, do you understand? That means, do you stand under me? Absolutely not, Judge. I don't understand at all. None of this makes any sense to me whatsoever. I don't understand any of this. I see you sitting higher than me. I see you dressed in a particular way that sets you apart and unequal from me. And it's an attempt to set yourself above me. I don't see you sitting below me on that bench. I don't see you empty-handed. I see you with a hammer, a wooden hammer in your hand. That's all part of the intimidation. I see you dressed in a black robe, which is the costume of only two people, judges and Satanists, and that's not by accident. And everything's stacked to make the victim, which is the person standing there, Marlena, or you and I, if you're in front of the judge in court, just to stand under them. That's why they say, do you understand? And be lesser to them, underneath them, at a lower level, on the other side of the bench, down below, 3 or 4 feet lower. It's all intimidation. It's all setting standing of that they're higher authority than you are. And that's how they keep the people under control. Keep those sheeple down. Keep them scared. Give them 1 minute only to speak and then turn that into 30 seconds. Threaten them with contempt of court. Have guys with guns standing there approaching from behind. You're at a great disadvantage. And so this is why Bill said, now, I'm saying I don't begrudge anybody giving in, and it's a lot easier said than done when you're there and you only have a limited time to speak. But this is why what Bill just said, which is state your claim, get your court, quote, so to speak, get your case, get your words out there early in the game. This is what courtroom watch stands upon, is catch it early. Once you get late down the road, the arrest has been executed, you're up in front of contempt charges because you're not following the orders of the court. Marlena waited a long time to get into kind of what we're talking about. She wanted to start fighting the fight when she was at the end of the battle, so to speak, and it was just about time to go to jail. What Bill's saying, which is catch it early, stake your claim early, your claim of trespass, that you're trespassing upon me as one man to a woman. They're going to try to ignore it at first, but in the end, I've seen a lot of people win this battle, even if it's after a couple of days or a couple of weeks in jail. So this is why the claim that you stake against the system is very important early. I claim you're trespassing upon me. One of the earliest things we like to kind of make a point on right now is your political status that the court is assuming that you're in or under when you go into the court. And it's a very dangerous word, and I've done my research on this, and it's the word citizen. And when under the 14th Amendment, which supposedly freed the slaves after the Civil War, it says all people born in the United States, I'm paraphrasing now, all people born in the United States from birth are automatically citizens. Well, that sounds great. Oh, you're automatically good to go. You're a free man. You're a good citizen, Kane. You're Johnny Citizen from day one. Well, I was reading my Roman history and I saw something very interesting in the year 212 AD. It said all free men of the empire, the Roman Empire, this is back in the year 212, 200 years after Jesus was born. And in the year 212 AD, it said all free men of the empire, by the way, New York is the Empire State, became citizens. All free men of the empire became citizens in the year 212 AD. And as I looked at that, I said, wow, if you're a free man, isn't that the pinnacle of existence? Isn't that all you need to be, all you ever want to be? Wouldn't any deviation from that, any addition, any addendum, any amendment, any step, anything else, wouldn't that be a step down? If you're free, if I'm a free man and I become something else, it doesn't mean I'm not free anymore. And the answer is that's exactly what it means. Yeah, no, you're not free anymore. And so I went on this little journey to find the definition of the word citizen. And so I went to the lexicography, I looked around, and the best definition I could find, the most concise, from the lexicographers at Oxford. This is Oxford dictionary authors, and this is about, if you're going to look for definitions, this is about as high standard as you're going to get. The lexicographers at Oxford define citizen as, listen to this now, people, carefully, A citizen is a legally recognized subject of a state or commonwealth. Did you get that? A legally recognized subject of a state. I'm not no stinking subject, and that's not what this country was about. That ain't freedom. But being a subject is what we fought the revolution for, no? So that is a problem. Now, I brought that up to someone's attention once, and they said, well, Eric, you know, sometimes when you go into court, they don't use the exact same dictionary definition. So I went to Black's Law and found out, what are the attorneys and the lawyers and all the witches in the witches' court, what do they use to define citizen? It's even worse. It makes my point even stronger. And I'll paraphrase the Black's Law definition of citizen. It's a citizen is a member of a political community. Note the communist term. Let me stop right there. A member, doesn't that mean I have to sign up, sign somewhere, or become joined? Political? What does my politics have to do with my citizenship or my status as a free man or woman? Community? Oh, boy, there we go with the communist communal term. So already is a deal killer. Now listen to the rest of it. A member of a political community owing allegiance to that political community. I'm not owing allegiance to Cuomo's stinking political community or Obama or Trump or anybody else. I'm not no stinking legally recognized subject, according to the dictionary, and I'm certainly not a member of a political community owing allegiance to that political community, i.e. the Black's Law dictionary definition. What else do you need to know? This whole citizen is a loaded word. It's a scam to get everybody put into a political status. Citizen does not mean you're born in the USA, as Bruce Springsteen said. It's a political status that means you're a member of a political community and subject to the rules of that political community, and you owe allegiance to them. Bitch, take it or leave it. Well, I'll leave it and categorize myself like the Native Americans do as an American national. And there's provisions for that on many forms, including your bank account and other forms. I've heard that some of the entities, public agencies, are removing the option for American national because people like us are catching on. And we realize that the citizen scam is the genesis of the how they suck you in to their political community and make you a subject. Instead of a free man or woman, you're now a citizen. So it's all bullshit. The citizen is not something you want to be. It's not about citizenship. Don't you want to be a citizen? You can be a citizen too. Raise your hand. Be a citizen. Obama's not a citizen. Oh, he should be. No, he shouldn't. He's not stupid. He didn't want to be a citizen either. The guy was actually evil smart. He knew. Boy, they know exactly what's going on. So you don't ever want to refer to yourself as a citizen. And that should be part of your argument that, hey, I'm a free man. I'm a free woman. Let's keep it simple. I'm an American national. If you have to categorize me as anything, I am certainly not a citizen subject owing allegiance to your stinking political community, no. So that is a very important...
I wouldn't even use the term free man. I mentioned earlier, I, a man, claim trespass.
Just a man. There you go. Yeah,
free man is another one of their trick words.
Yep.
Remember, we're speaking different languages.
Right.
You hit it right on. Citizen always means subject. So you don't want to be citizen. The original definition of citizen was a man who joined a body politic. So you're a man on land. And then if you want to be an American national or something like that, you end up joining a body politic. So you leave reality and you really end up going into some fantasy. It's all agreement. It's men and women coming together and agreeing to live under certain rules together. And this is how we're going to live. This is how we're going to do commerce and everything else, and how we're going to deal with other people groups. So we join the body politic. The key thing of what the criminals are doing to everybody are making the presumptions that we are U.S. citizens or citizens of the United States, and they automatically pull us into their body politic or where they want us to be, which is a slave, or actually it's referred to as chattel or cargo on a ship or something like that. That's what the words are. This is all good stuff and the root of the problem right here of what you're talking about, yes.
Yeah, excellent. And I think we're making this very understandable for people now. Like you said, you're just a man and a woman. We're very simple, created in a very simple structure, and we come together, as Bill said, in a body politic to make agreements with each other on how we're going to live. Unfortunately, the enemy has infiltrated that and set up all their agreements as a Christian, and it's important that people realize that under their statutes, if you look under, Title 28, Section 3002, I'm doing that from memory, correct me if I'm wrong, Title 28 of the U.S. Code, Section 3002, says the United States is defined as, quote, a federal corporation. So when they suck you in to be a citizen subject of their corporation, you're now nothing more than an employee. You're basically, you're part of their business, and that's really what it is. And you're part of their army. One of the very interesting things is I kept researching the word citizen in ancient Rome, which is where all this stuff comes from, is that to be in the army, you had to be a citizen. So Rome ended up making a blanket edicts that all the people who lived in all the other areas like the Gaul and Germania and, you know, all the other areas around the empire that the legions, the Roman legions conquered, they made those people citizens too, so they could expand how many people could be brought into their military. So, and that was part of it. You had to be a citizen to be a soldier. So when you're born under the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, when you're born an automatic citizen, sounds great, doesn't it? But guess what? You're automatically a soldier from the day of your birth. That's why when I used to say, you know, these courts seem like militarized ecclesiastic tribunals, meaning the military with the religious flair, and it's a tribunal, not a due process court. And that's exactly what they are. Turns out that is what they are. You are considered to be a citizen/soldier. You and I, Bill, Daniel, everybody listening to this right now, is de facto in the army, whether you like it or not, because as a citizen, you're automatically a soldier. And that's why they treat everybody like a conscript when you go into court. It's, hey, soldier, your hair's too long. Your tires on your car have enough tread. The sticker on your car is the wrong color. Shine your shoes better, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead, Bill.
The system that they are operating is a legislative military democracy instead of the guaranteed republic. So they changed everything, their corporate structure, legislative military democracy. Yes. So all of that stuff is true.
Yeah, and notice the word, Bill's using the word democracy. We're supposed to be a republic, and this is very interesting. Even in the movie Gladiator, they differentiated between the democracy and the republic, and one of the senators said, you know, to the Caesar, he said, well, you know, Rome was founded as a republic, and the Caesar kind of argued with him a little bit, and the difference between a democracy and a republic is crucial here. America and the people, the good founding fathers, the one that weren't the evil Freemasons, and we'll talk about that later, wanted this nation founded as a republic. And in a republic, the individual rights are protected. You remember the old saying, it's better that 1,000 men, guilty men go free than 1 innocent man go to prison. So it's better to have 1,000 to 1 times have the fault be on protecting the right of the individual, which is a concept of the republic, as opposed to a democracy where 51% of the wolves can vote to kill and eat the other 49% of the sheeple. Well, because you're outvoted. In a democracy, it's just majority rule, right? Well, what happens if the majority does something truly evil, like in Nazi Germany? Hitler was elected, dudes and chicks. You know, he didn't come to power on a coup d'etat. He came to, he was elected. Because so often the public can be hoodwinked and manipulated into doing the wrong thing. And at that time, your democracy, which can allow that to happen, needs to defer to the concept and the precepts of the republic, which say, wait a minute, does it matter what 60% of the people are telling the other 40% what to do? That democracy doesn't stand. In a republic, the individual rights of that 40% or that 2% or that 0.001%, that one person is left. There's one free man or woman left. The rights of that person have to be protected no matter what. I don't care about public safety. I don't care about communism, all this garbage. Socialism is the redistribution of poverty, by the way. And so people have to realize that the concepts of the republic are there to protect everybody. Whether you're a socialist, a communist, a democrat, a capitalist, a republican, a monarchist, a libertarian, whatever, gay, straight, black, white, don't matter. It's for all of us. It's like gun rights. Those are for everybody. I don't think anybody would want their guns taken. And what, give all the guns to the government? Oh, boy, that's a real good idea. This government we have now, the stinking government that's in charge right now, oh, yeah, great. For everybody's safety, let them take all the guns from us and keep all the guns for themselves, and then trust those same stinking sadsters to redistribute the wealth equitably. Ha! Socialism is the redistribution of poverty. So that's why we have to... Yep, go ahead.
Just want to let you guys know that we are nearing the end of the show here. I figure we got about 5 minutes left or so before we got to wrap it up. But I mean, you could keep talking
We're just getting started.
Here's what we can do. If we think we're on a roll and we want to keep going, we can wrap up this first hour, and then we can immediately pick up a second hour or even just another 15 or 20 minutes if we find we have more to say. If Bill wants to throw in a few more, I'll give the last five minutes to anybody. But it's important we get these concepts out there, the citizen thing, the republic versus democracy thing, and where we stand, of course, on general freedoms such as gun rights and et cetera. And it's important we talk about that now because with H.R. 127 on the books, you know, there's prison time if you don't get a psychological evaluation and you have a gun. You got to have a permit. You can't transfer a gun to your family member. You can't sell it to anybody. You can't buy ammunition without a license. And for this reason, there was between, what, through 2 and 3 million gun sales, new gun owners in February, and it's going up over 3 million in March. The numbers are just coming out. So we're up to well over 120 million, I believe, to 150 million gun owners with a combination of those who are on the books and those who are off the books. People are arming themselves like World War III is about to start. And I think that's very telling. People are seeing, even people on the left, I got a report from a guy who owns a gun store that said even liberals are coming in for guns now, and they're pissed off, wondering why they have to wait to get their gun. And they're being told, because you idiots voted for gun control thinking it was for everybody's safety, and now you're seeing the ramifications of it. So even people on the left want their guns now, and rightfully so. We should all have them. Very important. Any last words, Daniel or Bill?
You know, I'm on board with the people thinking World War III is about to happen because I can see what's happening over there in Ukraine, and they're all lining up for their sides and putting themselves in positions. So, you know, that could be kicking off here at any time. So.
Yeah, well, I'm a lot more worried about our own government than I am about the Ruskies or the Russians. You know, I'm not too worried about them. I think Russia wants to be left alone at this point. They don't have the resources, I think, or the desire to be expansionist directly. There are communists out there who want to take over and have world communism. That's true. But most of them are in the banking establishment, the highest level of the churches and the corporations and the corporate government. Most of your average Russian, we have no problem with. I'm more worried about America.
You have it right when you say you have to worry about our government because we are the ones that are provocateurs over there.
Yep.
So you have that absolutely right. It is our government that you need to be worried about. And especially now, because what we're seeing with these cases around the country that they're starting to do these counts for the Trump, you know, all that stuff is starting to come out. So you know, that's maybe why they're starting the provocateur, this to distract
us. Of course. Yeah. What Gerald Celente hit it right on the head. When all else fails, they'll take us to war to try to get people's attention diverted away from the domestic enemy and focused on a supposed foreign enemy. We went over our hour, so if we're not being recorded, why don't we wrap it up and either pick right back up for another few minutes or catch you on the rebound. I'll let you decide, Daniel.
No, I think we could definitely keep talking. I just got to make a quick stop here. And then I will call you right back. How's that sound?
I think that's a great idea. Let's continue this as long as we can tonight and just run it right into the ground. I'll let you guys do some more talking on the other side.
Sounds good, man. I'll call you guys back shortly.
Okay, gentlemen. Call you right back, both of you.
Yes, sir. All right. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.